In 1992, Rav Lichtenstein delivered a Shalashudas Sicha about Yaakov's reaction after the dream. After the nighttime apparition, he says, Achen yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh v'anochi lo yadati, with the emphasis, of course, on the word Achen. The Rashbam comments that the word Achen means that a person discovers something he hadn't understood initially. And certainly the pasuk indicates that Yaakov is discovering something, is uncovering a reality that he was insensitive to. Achen, there's some admission or acknowledgement. Rashi elaborates on what his grandson, the Rashbam, describes at a grammatical level. The Yaakov says, had I known, she'ilo yadati lo yashanti b'makom kodesh kazeh, had I known that this was the Har HaBayis, I wouldn't have been so lackadaisical or casual. I wouldn't have slept here. So this is a big awakening for Yaakov. He didn't know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu resided on this location. He didn't know the location's identity. A big epiphany. The problem, Rav Lichtenstein noted, is that this contradicts Rashi on the next pasuk. The next pasuk describes Yaakov's journey. We all know that Yaakov's journey is very convoluted. It's very confusing. The first pasuk sounds like he's in Haran, and then he's in Beit El, but he's near the Har HaBayis. Vayetzei Yaakov mibe'er sheva, vayelech Harana, vayifka b'makom vayolan shem. Sounds like it's a Shair HaLokim, Shair HaShemayim, it's a Beis HaLokim, which is Yerushalayim, but he names it Beit El, which is not really Yerushalayim. So at least Rashi's way of solving it is that he arrives in Haran, but he realizes Efshar Sheilech b'makom shehalchu avosai v'lo espalalti bo. Is it possible that I passed by Har Moriah, where Yaakov, where Avram and Yitzchak experienced jointly the Akedah, and I didn't note it? So he consciously returns from Haran back to the Har HaBayis, possibly is stalled or halted at Beit El, where at least according to one medrash, the Har HaBayis itself relocates to Beit El to greet him and to shorten the distance. But either way, this medrash that Rashi quotes in the very next pasuk has Yaakov understanding the makom of the Beis HaMikdash and returning to visit it. Yet Rashi and the Rashbam each explain that Yaakov's response is suggestive of a discovery, of an uncovering of some truth that he hadn't fully realized. So it seems to be contradictory. Does Yaakov know that he is walking past the Har HaBayis when he initially passes by, and or does he have to return to it? So Rav Lichtenstein explained this stira by delineating two different types of knowledge. There are things in life we know, but we don't live them deeply with a full, suffusive identification and behavioral response. I would call this, or Lichtenstein didn't call it as such, cognitive dissonance. We know, but we create distance from our experience. It could be a split between intellect and spirituality or emotional, existential. A lot of challenge in my field as a teacher is getting young men and women to translate the information to real identity transformation and to real. So it's something deeply, deeply ensconced. Or sometimes it's behavioral, where we know and we live it, but we take time off from it. We cast our identities aside from it. The experience is too imposing to live full-time. Rav Lichtenstein quoted, for example, the mitzvah to know about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'yadata hayom v'ashevose el levavecha m'dvarim perek dalet. Would anyone assume that the mitzvah to know about HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just to have a distant knowledge, or to be deeply, deeply affected by that knowledge? Or yisod ha-yisodos v'yamur ha-chochma, the Rambam begins the Mishneh Torah. Ladas, to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, does that mean that there's a distant knowledge? This is presumably what happens to Yaakov. Yaakov knows that it's the Har HaBayis, and for that reason he returns from Haran at great distance and at great expense and great investment. But he doesn't fully appreciate that it is suffused with Hashem's presence. He knows it's an important mountain, He knows it's the mountain of his ancestors. He has a sense that HaKadosh Baruch Hu resides on that mountain. But only after the dream, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks directly to him, does he fully process that knowledge. And it's unsettling to him. And he says, Achein. And he realizes that maybe his initial behavior wasn't fully reflective of the deep-seated identification and intuition that he should have expressed if he would have not just known in theory that Hashem resides on this mountain, but lived that experience and lived that knowledge. This is the month of Kislev. So in the mornings, I'm teaching the boys after davening parts of the Baal HaTanya. In the third paragraph of the Baal HaTanya, he describes the three types of knowledge or the three levels of knowledge. I'll describe them outside of the Kabbalistic context. They have deep, deep Kabbalistic connotations. But they're called Chachma, Bina, and Das. Of course, the acronym Chabad stands for the three. And Chachma is that first flash of intellect, the first curiosity about an idea. The Bina, we call comprehensive analysis and association. And Das is where you deeply, deeply assimilate the knowledge in the same way that Adam, through his marital relations with Chava, became deeply emotionally bonded to his wife. So Das is when we form that relationship with information or wisdom that affects us, it changes us. And that's what we're looking for when we study Torah, or for that matter, any constructive or helpful bit of knowledge. And this is what eluded Yaakov. Now, Rav Lichtenstein ended the Sicha not just by describing what had eluded Yaakov in the recovery, not just by identifying different types of understanding or knowledge, but with a subtle critique about our own moments where we find ourselves trapped in the not stupor, stupor is too harsh a word, but in the dispassionate awareness of Yaakov is probably the best way. This, it doesn't follow with passion. Yaakov knows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu lives in Har Moriah, but it's not something which informs him, or at least his behavior, and he sleeps. And how do we fare in the Yaakov test? We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu resides in Eretz Yisrael, we're aware of it, but how deeply do we feel it? How deeply do we tap into that? I think it's probably a challenge for those who live in Eretz Yisrael. For us, the challenge is one type of challenge, because life in Israel isn't cloaked with the same fairy dust that it appears to be from the outside. We pay our taxes and we clean the garbage and we have crime and we have drudgery, and sometimes when you're alleviated from that dreariness of Israel, you're better able to see the luster of Israel in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I think for people in Chutz Lars, the challenge is a little bit different, the distance and sometimes maybe even the luster of Israel can create almost a fantasy identity to Israel rather than a real identity where you live with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I think that the challenge is different for people who live in Israel and those who live in Chutz Lars, but it's the same challenge to identify Hashem within Eretz Yisrael and to be able to sense and to feel, to experience HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not just to have that distant or abstract awareness and to all of a sudden wake up, Achein, Eish Hashem, B'makom Hazeh.